service this evening, we've used a number of different ways of praying. We've used silence and music, spoken words and written words. We've listened to prayers written by others, lighting candles and reading God's word. And these are by no means the extent of the methods we can use to pray. And you may have found some of them more helpful than others. For some, silence is helpful in bringing them into the presence of God, giving space to allow God to speak to us. For others, this silence is confusing and difficult. Our own thoughts crowd in and distractions easily pull us away from being still and focused. And because we are each different, some ways of praying will be more helpful than others. I hope this evening that at least one of these methods has been helpful in bringing us closer to God. And just as there are many methods, there are also different types of prayers. And we've used some of these this evening. Praise, adoration, thanksgiving, confession, repentance, intercession, which means praying for others. Petition and supplication, I love that word, that means pray for yourself and what you need. Meditation and blessings, to name a few. Then there are many reasons for prayer. Prayers for healing, prayers for forgiveness, prayers for guidance, prayers for protection. The Bible itself has many prayers that we can use. And Psalms is a rich source of prayers of praise and seeking God's help and protection. The Bible also records people standing, sitting, raising hands, kneeling, bowing face down, walking, dancing, playing instruments, singing, weeping, fasting, wearing sackcloth and ashes, and perhaps many other ways to pray. We haven't quite done all of those this evening, but we've done a few. The good news is that however we choose to pray, whether we use words or not, whatever type or method and whatever position we are in, each prayer is valid. One prayer is not greater than another. There is no magic formula. No way is better than another. There is, however, a right attitude to prayer and a wrong one. And Jesus gave an example of two prayers in Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus also has harsh words to say about those who made a show of praying in public, using long prayers to display their own righteousness. These prayers were not prayed to God, but to people, so they would think highly of the person praying. Jesus tells all such people they have received the reward they seek, the public acclamation. God is not interested in those who are self-serving. Our prayers in public, therefore, need to be ones that glorify our Father, glorify Jesus, glorify the Holy Spirit, not to show how clever we are, how spiritual we are, how much we know more than others do. These things are not important to God. He longs to hear our honest prayers, prayers from our heart. These he values far beyond the fine words and self-righteousness. We often sing a song which means a lot to me. to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. To rest in your presence, not rushing away. To cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. And our prayer life should be about having a desire to be in the presence of God, giving time and not rushing, so that we can listen to God whispering to us. So often my prayer life falls from the ideal. It becomes more like reading a shopping list of things needed. And whilst intercession, praying for others, and supplication, asking God for our own needs, is important, prayer is so much more than this. When we limit our prayers, we limit the answers to prayers. And God is unlimited, with unlimited resources available, unlimited love, unlimited patience, and unlimited forgiveness. God is amazing, the creator of the universe, and yet he desires to spend time with each of us in prayer. And he has given us different ways in which we can spend time with him, because he wants our prayer life to be real, to be about building a relationship with him, to be about being in his presence and giving ourselves to him. If we think for a moment about relationships we have with different people and try and think about someone who broadly fits into the description and the kind of interactions you may have with that person, you will, I am sure, be able to identify someone for whom you meet on a regular basis, if not a daily basis. You don't know them. They're not a friend or a family member, but you see them. Maybe it's someone you pass each morning in the street as you're both going to work, or an assistant that serves you in the supermarket. I have a nodding acquaintance with a number of dog owners who pass me whilst I'm walking my own dog. Some just smile and wave as they pass. Some say good morning or make a comment about the weather or their dog. And often we know the name of the dog, but not the name of the owner. Bill and I, when talking about such folk, will identify them as Daisy's mum or Rover's dad. Perhaps those of you who are parents and do the school run have similar acquaintances with other mums or grandparents. These kinds of relationships tend to be folk we pass pleasantries with, but don't really know them well. Occasionally, there is a change when perhaps you don't see them for a while, and that prompts a conversation that develops the relationship a little bit further. Because you inquire if they're well or if they've been on holiday, these little exchanges may develop into longer conversations, shared concerns, or opportunities to find out information. Another kind of relationship will be with somebody we know reasonably well, perhaps a work colleague or a neighbour. We know their names, and perhaps something about their families. We know their hobbies and their interests, and we perhaps share views on TV programmes we've seen, or talk about our holiday, our work, our families. We have a bit more in-depth knowledge, and therefore indulge in a wider conversation. Then we have friends who we know really, really well, and who know a great deal about us. We perhaps share meals and outings, attend parties together, observe birthdays and special occasions, offer to help when we see they are struggling, visit them at home and invite them to our own homes. They are trusted and we know them, that we can confide in them. The conversations we have with them are much on a deeper level than with a regular acquaintance. They would be the kind of people we would turn to when we are in trouble. The friends we care about and who care about us. those who like family members, people who see us all the time, who know what we like in a good mood or a bad one, the ones who we don't need to put up a polite front for, to say we're fine when we're not. The conversations we have with them are different too, less guarded, more willing to share our views and feelings with. For some of us, there may be that one special person with whom we have an intimate and deep relationship, with a person we love and want to share our whole lives with, someone we are committed to, someone we know well and perhaps know what they're thinking even before they speak, know how they will react to certain news. For this special relationship, conversations will be different again. There may even be long silences, which are not uncomfortable, but an acceptance that being in one another's presence is enough, sharing something that perhaps goes beyond words. Now, I've been speaking about these different kinds of relationships, and I know there will be degrees in between these casual acquaintance and the one true love. Perhaps you've been thinking about people you know and where they might fit in the scale of things. Will you please now think about your relationship with God? Where would he come on that scale? Is he someone with whom you have a polite, nodding acquaintance? Or someone that you've developed a deep and special relationship with? Just as our conversations and interactions with people are governed by our relationship with them, so will our prayer life be governed by our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do you desire to be in the presence of God, to worship him with all that you have and all that you are? Prayer is a tremendous privilege. God has decreed that we shall be involved through prayer in building his kingdom, seeking his will to be done on earth in the same way as it's done in heaven. He has given us authority to ask in the name of Jesus for his will to be done in any given situation. The fact that God is awesome, mighty in power and absolutely unlimited in power should make us bold in prayer. To pray for those who need saving grace. To pray for those situations around the world that need his peace. To pray for mission and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. To seek healing and wholeness. To seek forgiveness and unity. Do we, as the psalmist, long for God as the deer pants for the water? The water is life-giving and essential. Is our prayer life life-giving and essential? The writer of the psalm is in exile, unable to go and worship at the temple in Jerusalem, separated and captive in a foreign land. The psalm is a lament that he cannot go and offer worship and praise to an awesome and powerful God in a way that is familiar and comforting. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? He asks. Without the temple where people believed the living God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, the centre of the temple, the writer is struggling to find a place where he can worship and pray. But he acknowledges that even there in the foreign land, the love of God is with him. His song at night becomes a prayer. He has hope that he will one day be free and able once again to praise God in his temple as he had done before. When we come together to worship, there's something special about when Christians join together because Jesus promises to be present. So whether we are few or many, worshipping, praising and praying together is special and powerful because somehow heaven joins in. And I guess if I were prevented from attending to worship, I may feel some of the sadness the psalmist expresses. Maybe I would be downcast, like Alwyn is. But we would still be able to worship and pray, even if I was by myself. Because we know that God is not confined to a room in a temple, but he's with us wherever we go. So we are in a stronger position than the psalmist who laments his loss. In John 14, we read how Jesus comforts his disciples and begins to prepare them for what lies ahead. The chapters that follow up until Jesus' arrest contains a lot of teaching about prayer and some of Jesus' own prayers as well. He promises he is going ahead to prepare a place for them. He will come back and take them to be with him. Verse 3, it is, of course, the passage that we have Thomas's wonderful question, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" It's wonderful because it gave Jesus that opportunity to speak those words which are so familiar and so important to us. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are we following the way, seeking the truth and living the life that is only possible through Jesus? Then in answer to Philip's question, Jesus reveals his close connection between himself and the Father, the likeness so close that to see Jesus is to see the Father, speaking on the authority of the Father, who is working through Jesus, living in him. Faith in Jesus will enable the believer to do the works Jesus has been doing and do even greater things, because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. A prayer from a believer in the name of Jesus is amazingly powerful. The name of Jesus has been given to us, not so that we can amass great wealth or gain selfish ambition, but so that we can do the work the Father, just as Jesus did. The name of Jesus is given to us to help us in our mission, to help us to build the kingdom of God. The promise of Jesus to do whatever we ask in his name. The name of Jesus and the faith of the believer should drive us to our knees in prayer. To seek the will of God and to pray it into being, to pray for the souls who are lost, the healing of all those who are sick, the forgiveness of those who are hurt, the peace for those who are in conflict, for mission. And as there are many types of prayer, many methods of praying, there are myriad reasons for prayer. Our work for God and our prayers need to be closely linked. And as we pray for our own areas, we should also draw into prayers others working in different ways for the building up of the kingdom. Those within our fellowship, those within our community, our denomination, our country, our worldwide brothers and sisters in Christ, who need the prayers we offer in the name of Jesus in order to see the fruit of their labours. Do we seek that close, intimate relationship with God, as Jesus had with his Father, listening and acting upon his authority and praying in his name? There's one method of prayer that I haven't talked about and that I would like to use now. This is meditation. Excuse me. I'm going to cough, I think. No, that hasn't worked, has it? Meditation. It requires imagination and it is helpful to some but not to everyone. So I would invite you to join in as you're able. But if it's not something you feel able to do, don't worry. You can use this time to pray in your hearts as the Spirit prompts. So this is how it works. Please can you close your eyes and relax. Breathe slowly and deeply. I'm going to read a story from the Bible. Try to imagine you are there. You can choose to be one of the characters if you wish, or one of the crowd, or you can just be an observer. Please don't choose to be Jesus, because it just won't work if you do that. Look around as the story unfolds. Imagine the grass, the smells, the noise. What it must have been like to be there, to witness the events unfold. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so. And everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Think about the excitement that must have been in the crowd. Now Jesus leaves and the disciples follow him. The crowds begin to disperse to begin their journey home. But you remain in this special place where you have witnessed this amazing miracle. Now you are alone. Then someone comes and sits beside you. It is Jesus. He speaks and asks, "What can I do for you?" Tell him. And now ask him, "What can I do for you?" And listen to his reply. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible and especially those stories that teach us about Jesus and the things he has done, the work that he continues to do in our lives as we read, as we pray, and as we serve. We long to be in your presence, to sit at your feet and to worship and adore you with our whole lives. Help us as we journey to come closer in our relationship with you, so that we may become more like Jesus and he can be seen in all we say and do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.